name a bunch of names, I will say that I'm so thankful to be with your superintendent, my good friend, Brother Calthorpe, the rest of the leadership of this district, all of the saints, all of the ministry. God bless you so richly and abundantly. I want to read a verse of scripture, Matthew 24, 36 through 39. We all know it. You may not remember it, but you will when I start to read it. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You can be seated. God bless you. When we read these verses of scripture, obviously our mind turns to prophecy, to the end time, as it should. That's exactly what this is talking about. I don't necessarily want to talk about the end time. I'm not going to get into prophecy. I'm not going to talk about pre, post, mid, semi-mid, half-mid, potentially mid, maybe post, half-post. I'm identifying as post, but I might be mid. I'm not going to get into any of that. I will let the experts, or those who think they're experts, delve into that. I'm going to stay on safe ground. What I want to speak about, and this will be sort of a message and sort of a promotional message, but what I really want to talk to us about for the next few minutes, and I'm not going to be long this morning. I'm very conscious of my time. But I want to talk about the principle of what's happening here. And everybody was happy and everybody was fine. And everybody was okay until they weren't. And that's kind of the thing. We're okay until we're not. Now, you cannot pay your car insurance. You can refuse to pay car insurance. You can refuse to pay your taxes. You cannot pay taxes, state and or federal. You can decide not to do it. And you will be okay until you're not okay. Everything will be good until it's not good. You will have not a care in the world, and you will have more money in your pocket until you don't. And Jesus is saying, and we all know that the hour knows no man. I don't care who they are. You can get as close as you think. We certainly see the times. We understand. We're not ignorant of the times, but no one knows when Jesus is coming back. The truth is, this may be heresy. If it is, I apologize. But I don't really care when Jesus is coming back. I'm not focused on the day or the hour or this or that. I'm not really focused on that. What I'm focusing on is maximizing the time that I have, the hours that I have, the life that I'm living, the ministry that I can engage in today. I don't have the promise of tomorrow. And news shocker to some of you, neither do you. What we do have is today. What we do have is right now. I believe in planning. I believe in getting things ready for the future. Do that. It's good and it's well. But don't plan for the future to the detriment of the present. There are some people that live in the past, and all they think about are the so-called glory days of the past. I don't want to live in the past. I want to honor the past. I don't want to just think about the future, but I want to live and occupy the present where I am today. I want to reach the lost. I want to reach men and women and children and young people, every nation, every tribe, every language group, every nationality in North America, around the globe. So I'm not really concerned with when he's coming back. I know he's coming back. My job and your job, our responsibility, is to be involved in the things of God every day that we can. I heard an elderly person in our church in St. Louis tell me one day, I don't get involved anymore because I put my time in. I don't go on outreach. I give my money, but it's time for the young people to do stuff. I put my time in. Newsflash, we've never put our time in. I can never stop getting invested in the kingdom of God and getting involved in the things of God. It doesn't matter my age. It doesn't matter my physical ability. It doesn't matter my finances. I've got to be involved in reaching the lost. Let me tell you something. I'm representing global missions, but I come from a North American church. I come out of a church down in South Louisiana. All my family's Cajun French. When I went to Bible school, some of the kids used to want to hear me talk just because of my Cajun accent. I don't need the subtitles for swamp people. That's my people. I was there last week. I ate good, I'm going to tell you. We had some good food. But I came out of a North American church. Let me just set the record straight. And I will speak now as an elected official of the UPCI, as the Secretary of Global Missions. I'm speaking in that capacity right now. Global Missions is not in competition with North American missions. Global Missions is not in competition with youth ministry, with multicultural ministry, with men's ministry, ladies' ministries, children's ministries. We are not in competition with anybody. We are part of the body. We're part of the church. And we all are reaching the world, and we're doing it together. I must confess, there are times I hate NAM. You say, Brother Sladen, you just said you're not in competition. That is right. But there are times I hate NAM. I'm going to tell you when I hate NAM. When I go to General Conference and you guys make those dumb presentations. You talk about cities worth saving. Talk about the next town. I want to resign. I want to quit. I want to stop at Global Missions because I get to go back and work on budgets and deal with auditors and finances and taxes and immigration issues. And what I really want to do, Colthorpe, I feel honored in my position that the fellowship has put me there. I feel honored. I want to go plant a church. I want to stop worrying about financial issues and budgetary. I want to go start a church somewhere. My goal one day, I don't know if God will ever let me do it. I want to start a Spanish-English, English-Spanish. I want to start a bilingual church somewhere. I don't know if God's going to ever let me do that. We'll see what happens. We are not competing against NAM. We're not even competing for the same money as NAM is. We're all on the same team. 18 target cities in Illinois. They need somebody that says, I'm tired of my comfort zone. I'm tired of just my job. I'm tired of what I'm doing. I'm feeling stirred up by the Holy Spirit. I feel that God is agitating my insides and he's not letting me get comfortable. Let me tell you this, he said it. If you want to start a church, if you want to be a church planter, if you want to get involved, it doesn't just happen. You don't accidentally one day, oh, I'm starting a church. It's intentional. It's purpose. I know people that they say they hunt. I don't know that they hunt. I know that they may go out and set in a stand somewhere. They got snacks with them. They got food. They got coffee. I know I'm stepping on toes. That's okay. They're on their phone the whole time. There could be a 12-point buck 8 feet away behind them. They have no idea because they're listening to a podcast and they're surfing the web. They're not hunting on purpose. They're out in the woods with some stuff, but they're not hunting on purpose. If you want to get involved in ministry, if you feel God is calling you to be a church planter, it can't be half-hearted. It can't be half-measured. You've got to do it on purpose. You've got to mean it. It's got to be, I'm going to do this. We're going to do this. I'm going to talk to my pastor. I'm going to talk to my presbyter. I'm going to talk to my leadership. I could spend an hour. I'm not going to. I have 18 minutes left, and I probably won't take the 18. We are working together with Global, with NAM, with youth, with multicultural. Some of you may not be aware. I hope there's some literature somewhere. Is there literature from multicultural here somewhere? Okay. Well, you could find it. It's on the website. You could get there. Global Tracks is an initiative that Global and it has done with multicultural, with NAM. Over 60 languages, there are tracks available. Free. You could print them. You could download them. They're PDF. You could send them. You could do whatever. Over 60 different languages. You say, well, Brother Slayton, in where we live, I don't speak Swahili. Guess what? We got tracks in Swahili. You say, oh, we have these people in our community, but they have family in X nation, in certain country. There's a thing called UPC World Connect. And you can pick any country in the world, and it will get you in contact with the leadership of that local church, that national work, that you can send somebody. You could give them contact for their family, or somebody in that nation can reach out to the family member. We're working together. We're not trying to, oh, well, we don't want you. We want you doing that. We want multicultural, sending people from around the world to the churches overseas. We want local people having tracts available to them. I was with a friend recently. I won't say where because I don't want to embarrass them. A Spanish church. Basically, everything's in Spanish in the church. And I was preaching for him. We did a missions weekend there. Great time and all that, but I challenged him. I gave him a challenge that I give all of my Spanish-speaking pastors because I preach a lot in Spanish churches. My challenge to them was, when are you going to start an English-speaking church? It was about as loud as it is in here right now. I said, you need to start... Hey, in your city, they have people that speak French. You need to start a French church. Well, but we're all from South America and Central America. That's good. I'm from South Louisiana, and I went to El Salvador as a missionary in the middle of a civil war. So I don't care what language you speak and where you're from. You need to start a French-speaking church. You need to start an English-speaking church. I let him know there are resources available. What I'm talking about is all of us working together, Why? We ask ourselves, why? Why are we doing this? Because the world needs Jesus. Brother Cothar, we don't have these meetings to make ourselves look good. We don't hold these positions to make a lot of money. We don't do what we do for our financial future. We don't do this for the likes on Facebook or whatever social media platform you prefer. We do this because the day is coming, and Jesus said everything was fine, everything was good until the flood came. And when the flood came, the door was closed, and the flood came and it wiped them all away. The reason that NAM is working with Global and Children's Ministries is working with Global, the reason that Global is partnering with Youth Ministries, the reason that Global is partnering with Multicultural is because the world needs Jesus. I'm not a deep preacher. I'm not this great, he said something so amazing. I'm pretty simple. And the simplicity and the truth is this: the world needs Jesus. I don't care what language they speak. I don't care what their skin color is. I don't care where they're from. I don't care what they have financially or don't have financially. I don't care if they like my politics, disagree with my politics. It doesn't matter. People need Jesus. Global missions. Let me share a few things that not even specific to global missions, but it's amazing what God is doing. Regional missionaries, some people probably haven't heard it, but we've been talking about it, we've been having it for years. We can't always send North Americans into countries. For political reasons, they can't go. I've been to a few that I could go as a tourist, but I couldn't go under any other auspices. I was in one a few weeks ago. 100% prohibited to have churches. Christianity, 100% prohibited. I will say this, we were in two of the three congregations. Again, it's prohibited. Christianity is prohibited. But we were in two of the three congregations. We have regional missionaries who are sent from other nations, not from U.S. or Canada. We don't send them. They're sent from our member nations around the world. They send missionaries to other countries because they can get in. There's no restriction on them going in. They can go in for about 1/10 of the budget of a North American missionary. Don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining, but if you're a North American UPCI, Global Missions missionary, you're an employee of the UPCI. That means there are laws, taxes, employment law, etc., things, benefits that are part of that. These regional missionaries, they're not worried about any of that. We can keep a family on the field in some instances for about $12,000 to $15,000 a year. We keep the family on the field for a year. Regional missionaries. The last three countries we have opened, new nations opened to the gospel. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. Brand new nations that now have an apostolic presence in those countries. Youth ministries partner together with global ministries, with global missions. And youth ministry said, we want to fund it. So we did. But we didn't send a North American missionary into any of those places. We sent regional missionaries to open these new nations. You talk about a partnership. Global missions, youth ministries, and the church around the world. That is how it's supposed to work. Let me tell you something. As the global mission secretary, our issue is not finance. Our issue is manpower. We need more men. We need more women. We need more candidates. We need more people who are willing to say, I will go. I'm going to run. I've got a lot to say, but I don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to hasten on here. I Am Global has revolutionized what we do. We have missionaries that come in. It is amazing. Brother Abernathy, New Abernathy. I know you and I, you're a little older than I am. A little, not much, but anyway, just a tad. We remember back in the day, we have missionaries that come in now for inbound orientation after 4 years on the field. Their budget is done. They actually don't even have to deputize. They're done. We allow them to stay in the States 4 or 5 months, North America, visit, go to general conference, see family, see friends, preach for some friends. They don't have to deputize. Their budget is completely done and raised. That's thanks to you. That's thanks to the Illinois district. That's thanks to our great North American fellowship. But again, it goes back to why. Why do we do this? Not so that our name comes out on a list of the top churches or top districts. That's all okay. That's fine. That's not why we do this. The reason we do this is what Jesus said until the flood came. Everything was good until the flood came. And people who think they're good and fine and great and everything is wonderful and God hasn't judged them until He does. We are in the time of mercy and grace. We are in the time that people can repent. They can get right with God. They can fix their relationship with God. That's where we live in right now. That's the dispensation we are in. And then one day, Jesus is returning for His church. Our goal right now is Pentecost every day, 3,000 a day around the world, a sustainable harvest of 1 million disciples around the world every year. Not in 10 years, every year we want 1 million brand new disciples. NAM has bought into the vision. NAM is partnering with Global. This is all around the world. Our national works around the world. Hey, we can't do this, but we can do that. Maybe our work isn't so big, but we can contribute $5,000 a year, $15,000 a year. We believe that God is going to help us to have 1 million, when I say disciples, baptized in Jesus' name. Not people that came to church and visited. Not people that shook the minister's hand. Not even people that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but they have to have been baptized in Jesus' name. 1 million baptized disciples a year around the globe. That is the goal of Global Missions. It may and may not happen in my lifetime, but I believe that it will, and I believe that we will exceed it. I believe the days will come when we will look at 1 million and say, that's every quarter, that's every 3 months, the UPCI around the world. Brother Colthorpe, you'll understand what I'm saying. There are days, there are board meetings, there are phone calls you get. I just want to be a missionary again. I don't want that phone call. I certainly don't want that email I just got. I don't want what we're about to discuss. I don't want to continue what we've been discussing. I just want to go back and be a missionary. I just want to work for God. The good old days. But we do what we do to reach the lost. And I understand that what I do in my position is facilitating thousands of others to do what they do. I get it. Our missionaries are the tip of the spear. But the spear does not get thrust deeper unless there is a shaft and unless there is a North American church that is supporting, that is pushing. We're opening a new nation. We're extending the bounds into people groups. I don't have time, but we have people groups, thousands around the world, within countries, unreached people groups. They're in a nation, but we haven't touched them. Millions and millions and millions around the world. God, help us to reach them. I want you to stand with me if you would. I know it's been mentioned. Brother and Sister Fudala are with us. Great missionaries. They need to be on the field. It's been said here they just need, I think, 16 or 14 more PIMs, whatever that looks like. I believe that Illinois can send them home. I believe that Illinois can send them back to the field. Thailand, it's about 70 million people in Thailand. I think we have less than 2,000 filled with the Holy Ghost in Thailand. I'm not discrediting what's been done, but what I am saying is there's a lot of work to be done. And we need this family back on the field in Thailand. The truth is, the day is coming. There will be no need for campground. There will be no need for camp meeting. There will be no need for General Conference, NAYC. There will be no need for I Am Global, for Global Missions, for MTM, Youth. None of that's going to be necessary. Because the church is going to be gone. And at that point, those we haven't reached will remain unreached. Why do we do what we do? We simply do it because the world needs Jesus. I want you to raise your hands. And if we could just take a moment, Brother Abernathy is going to come. And if we could just take a moment. Jesus, help me. I don't want to pray for my brother and my sister. I don't want to pray that God needs to work on anybody else. I want to pray that God works on me and touches me. Could we raise our hands? Jesus, we thank you today. God, you are good to us and you are kind. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for reaching us. Thank you for touching us. God, speak to us today. Speak to us today. In Jesus' name.
Come on, can we lift our voices right now? Come on, let's talk to the God of the harvest. Come on, let's talk to the Lord right now. Lord God, what can we do? What can I do? Lord, I want there to be people impacted.